The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
For over 10 years, and almost 500 episodes, the NAWC, always on.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome once again to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight I have a few of my usual humanoids. That would include the one that's sitting all the way on the other side of the planet, Bad News Beeman.
Yes, here I am, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy.
Also at the table tonight, I have... our other numbers guy, VRM, we've missed you, man.
Yeah, I've been busy and I am raising my beverage and toast this evening.
Indeed. We will get to that in just a moment. But I would need to include one other humanoid, the one that makes this more or less possible, Carl Schneer. Who is not talking to us. But yeah, we do need
NFL.
Well, no, not. I'm going to start with some bad news. I bring up humanoids specifically because this past weekend we lost another legend, Bobby the Brain Heenan, 72 years young. Now, granted, for the last decade or so, he's been dealing with all sorts of medical maladies that were trying in vain to shut him up. Apparently, he was so caustic. He rotted out his lower jaw. Now, I know it was cancer related, but given some of the barbs that he was able to spew out, given all the wonderful things that he said and the things that he did as a manager, as a commentator, unfortunately, the only time I've seen him wrestle is in comedy matches, so I can't speak for his wrestling. God damn, I would pay Mania money for Monsoon and Heenan to be at the table for current WWE programming. Shane, any thoughts about the Brain?
It's sad that he's passed. TMZ Sports actually followed the evil boss himself and asked him his opinions on Bobby Heenan passing away. And he said, we didn't only lose a great manager, but for those that didn't know, we also lost a great wrestler as well. Cause he was a great talent back in the day. And yeah, he's going to be sorely missed.
I wasn't introduced to Heenan till WCW. So even when he was phoning it in, he still had it. Now, granted, I went back and I've listened to some of his earlier stuff, and oh my God, just for shiggles, I read some of this stuff to my mother, and she's like, "That's cruel." And I said, "But that was his job." To disparage faces without having to resort to cheap talk. He could say you suck without having to say you suck. He could still backhandedly compliment a face and then frustrate the hell out of Monsoon or Shivani or whoever had the fate of having to sit next to this man. VRM, yeah, I know you're a fan boards guy. Have you been over to that to the thread that we did?
I have not been over to the fan boards to look at the thread. No, I have not.
It's about 10 pages, and there's about five of us in particular that have been doing them. And most of them are usually tearing apart Enzo. Or I did one about James Ellsworth. I did a couple about I did a couple about Roman, and one about Dean.
Are those some of the ones that got to the Angry Marks?
Yeah, I took all of mine along with the, some that I had assists from guys like Waters and poster Alexa Bliss for Life. Those, you know, if you want the short version, go to angrymarks.com and go read my latest Bobby and Gorilla Calling Current WWE. That's the short form. But yeah, if you actually have a free 10 minutes VRM, it's worth going through all the pages. Some people just quoted other, you know, retooled actual Heenan quotes. I don't think I did. I think I just, you know, I can hear him in my head. And it guts me that I never got to meet this man. So, you know, rest in peace, Bobby. You're in a better place. Now you can talk again. So have a seat next to Monsoon. Oh, yeah, and before you go through the gates, warn St. Peter about Hogan.
Oh, God. No, don't even get me started on Terry.
God. Well, I'm just saying, it's if Bobby was at the table now, he would be saying the same stuff about Cena that he'd been saying that he'd ever said about Hogan.
Oh, definitely. But here's the difference between John and Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
I highly doubt when John gets into his mid 60s, early 70s, that he's going to say to reporters that he wants to fight a 7 foot tall, 300 plus pound giant and have one more match just to try and boost his career. That doesn't need boosting because he's already destroying people, every person in his path. And by that, I mean Braun Strowman.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And I would not pay anything for Hogan Strowman. In fact, I hate to do this to Braun, but that would be a bathroom break for me.
It would be. I said this publicly, which I thought I was going to get a lot of flack for from all the little Hulkamaniacs, but
there aren't many left.
Yeah, I know. But I said,
once more with feeling, man, you cut out. Shane?
Let me go to the studio and check, see what's going on.
Yeah.
The problem with doing things on your phone, ladies and gentlemen, is you get calls that interrupt your goddamn speeches.
We're gonna have to get you a real microphone.
I've got a real microphone, just you guys never really hear me when I'm on the damn thing.
Oh, okay. Like I said, we gotta get you a real microphone.
Uh-huh.
Granted, it'll take 6 months to get there, but we can get you one.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, I don't know if it would pass through customs these days, but anyways.
I got a whole computer through customs down there. So.
Oh, did you? Fair enough. But as I was saying, like I said this to said this publicly, and I'll say it again. Hogan's last match with Sting at Bound for Glory in TNA was terrible. It sucked balls. It was the most terrible thing I've seen in my life. In fact, it looked when both he and Sting swung chairs, it looked like a bunch of geriatrics in the ring getting ready to fight each other. It was ridiculous. And if Hogan got in the ring with Braun Strowman, perfectly worked or not, like if Braun carried the whole goddamn match, Terry Bollea would still get hurt and would have to go in for another hip or back surgery.
Or both.
If not both, exactly. And he would still win the match somehow. So, yeah, no. Not interested. But let's see. Speaking of Strowman, he still scares people. He's a big, scary man.
I know he scared Enzo this past week. Jesus.
He didn't stop there. He didn't stop with just scaring him. They had to scrape him up off the floor. I was more amused by Neville's reactions.
Oh, that laugh of his. What the hell was that?
That evil cackle?
I don't know if I'd call that a cackle. That disturbed me. I was like, what the hell is that?
Well, I mean, even the king of the cruiserweights has a sense of humor, and watching somebody get murdered in front of him seems to fit the bill.
I was going to say, that toss he got through the middle rope, God, that looked vicious. I'm like, oh, God, he's got another concussion again.
Yeah, I'm going to make the joke. I don't think Enzo notices.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, this... That did help. That helps me look forward to Strowman Lesnar. Unfortunately, I don't think Roman was terribly effective, although I liked his promo.
It just goes to show, when John Cena's not there interrupting your ass, you can cut a good promo.
Yeah. I mean, was it a great promo? Was it an epic promo? No, but it got the message across. You know, John Cena, you know, has bitched about part-timers, and what is he now? For all intents and purposes, Cena is a part-timer. Now, granted, you know, he was over in China. He was on his way back from China, or he's on his way there, or...
Yeah, I think he's on his way over there, or he's on his way back. I'm not sure.
So, you know, this means Roman actually got an uninterrupted promo time and got in a couple of good lines. The Alex Riley thing kind of threw me.
Now, that was vicious, but that was also true.
Admit it. I thought Reggie had some potential. And then he bollocks up his Rumble stuff. I think that was one of the death knells, and then there was apparently something else with Cena that, you know, got him heat, which means he got demoted. Makes you wonder, don't it?
Well, that's why Roman said it. He's like, you think a guy with he's Cena walking around with his crew cut and his big muscles. If that's all it took to get over in this business, then Alex Riley would still be here. I'm like, oh, shit.
He ain't wrong. I mean, Alex wasn't great, but he was, you know, things were starting to really look up for him, and then he just disappeared. So.
or Cena did a Godfather on him and made him disappear.
Probably. Made him disappear, and then he showed up on NXT, and... apparently, you know, even some of Cena's house rules apply down there, because I don't know what the hell was going on with him, with Alex. Short of, you know, the only thing I remember is Owens throwing him over the announce table.
if you believe the rumblings that were going on backstage from what certain fans were saying was going on, apparently during the whole Miz, Cena, and Alex Riley thing, there was rumors going around backstage that Cena was a little nervous because Alex Riley was getting more attention than he and Miz. So he pretty much cut off Alex Riley's momentum before he got started.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't believe it either. I'm like, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, people were noticing Alex Riley, but I wouldn't say it was overshadowing the Miz Cena feud.
No, I don't think it was, because when Riley finally broke away from the Miz, that got a really good pop. And they could have done something with him, and somewhere in there, you know, everything fell apart. It's my understanding the Rumble that he botched, he was supposed to be in like the final five or six. He wasn't, when he fell out of the ring. And if you remember an incredulous Michael Cole going, "Is Alex Riley out?" It's because he wasn't supposed to be out yet.
Yeah, because Cole's looking at his notes like, "Got down here that Alex is supposed to be in the final five. What the hell?"
Yeah. And that's why Miz had to run back out.
To make the
Cena elimination. But yeah, Roman had some good points, and I'm sure there were plenty of people in the crowd going, "Who the hell is Alex Riley?"
Oh yeah, that long haired bum looking bloke that was on NXT with his Jesus tattoo on his back.
If he ever comes back, I want Reggie. Give me Reggie. It's an Archie's reference. Look it up.
Yeah, I don't see Alex ever coming back.
No, I'm pretty sure he's done. Didn't he get a cameo on Glow or something?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't, I don't think. Yeah, you're right. He's not coming back.
But someone that did come back.
Ooh, I hear a segue.
Seeing as though we were in San Jose this past week for Monday Night Raw, it should be fitting that Bayley returns to the scene.
Given that she was getting some boos when she was, peeking around while she was out with her shoulder issue, this was the only way they were going to get a universal pop out of it. And even then, but fingers crossed.
Well, I think from the reaction she got in San Jose, because it wasn't the loudest that we've ever heard for Bayley in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
I think my wild card is going to come into play this week.
All right. Keep that handy, because we will be getting to those in a little bit. Just one other thing from Raw that I want to discuss. And this is based on some conversation that I've seen on the boards. The Balor-Wyatt man versus man match.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are complaining that the whole Balor-Wyatt feud is kind of bit. Has kind of been booked backwards. Personally, I just think it's more that, Wyatt's seen what the demon can do and says, "Okay, but can you do that without your powers?" And Wyatt isn't going to give himself that kind of handicap. Can you trust him to fight a match straight up? Come on. Thoughts?
No, definitely not.
Like I said, I even want to hear Wyatt say, I wouldn't give myself that sort of handicap.
He basically did.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a like a straightforward way. When he first appeared to challenge the man, he said, "Well, it wasn't you that beat me, Finn. It was the demon that beat me."
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he did a Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Back when he faced Corporate Kane and Demon Kane.
So yeah.
I've kicked Corporate Kane's ass, but Demon Kane just destroys me.
Well, and it's kind of established WWE canon. Even if you include NXT, has Balor ever lost a match when he's painted up?
If I remember correctly, he did when he faced. Who was it? Was it Owens?
Owens or Joe?
Yeah, that's all right. Samoa Joe, thank you.
Okay.
When he faced Joe, I'm pretty sure he lost when he was a demon, yeah.
Okay, so NXT canon they can dance around, but WWE canon, even though he's only done it twice, Balor's undefeated as the demon. And if the process of being painted up wasn't so long and complicated, I almost wish I could get a vignette or something where Finn and the demon have a nice little internal dialogue and you watch his body shifting back and forth between the two forms.
Oh, they've done that before, but I agree with what you're saying. I'd like to see that. It's sort of like a old school Mick Foley type deal, where it's like a different personalities talking to each other.
Yeah, a three faces of Foley. You know the table of Foleys. I think even if they went and pre-shot this. Painted up Balor, had him do that half, or have him do all the Finn parts first, go paint him up, have him do the Balor parts. And they could shoot it all on Saturday, and that way he could get scrubbed up. Or they shoot it on Sunday, and he comes out with half of the paint, or most of the paint gone.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. We're getting two-faced here, ladies and gentlemen.
and the first thing, what does Wyatt do? He just starts cracking up. You couldn't do it. You couldn't face me as a man. You couldn't trust yourself facing me as a man. To which he would reply, "No, I couldn't trust you. Since you keep calling yourself a god." WWE, please steal my information here.
They've done it in the past. Why not now?
Because it's too cool. It's way too awesome to happen. So let me peek over to SmackDown, and I'm going to, pun fully intended, talk about the elephant in the room.
Oh boy, here we go.
Oh, this is the thing that's going to take up half hour of the damn show.
This is the part where we would say the views and opinions of everyone here are not reminiscent of Spectrum One as a whole. Blah blah blah. Spectrum One cares.
Yeah. Gender Mahal decided he needed to cut one more promo, another promo on Shinsuke, but did something that actually kind of boggled my mind at first, where we have a ethnically diverse character playing a race card. Now, first of all, Jinder, you know, I hate to admit this, but you got to keep your stereotypes straight. The Japanese don't eat dog. Koreans do. Why do I know this?
I thought it was Chinese. Oh, God damn it.
I thought it was the Thai.
I guess, you know, so, you know, first of all, if he gets a stereotype screwed up, he actually uses thick Japanese accent horribly. The faces thing is okay. I'm okay with that. But the stereotyping he did something unprecedented with the WWE audience. By God, political correctness is one, and there was actually a "that's too far" chant. So, okay, all of you Attitude Era whiners, all of you guys who want the Attitude Era back, that shit would have happened in the Attitude Era. And now you're saying
choppy, that's choppy, too far. Choppy, choppy your pee-pee, anyone?
Thank you. You want your Attitude Era back? There's a piece of Attitude Era. That's too far.
Yeah, I think Attitude Era fans need to realize that shit's not going to fly anymore, because we've reached an age in time where we're back to you can sneeze and it will offend somebody. Like, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking, like, they're like, oh, we want Attitude back. And yet you got a Canadian playing an Indian doing a Japanese accent, and they get offended because he changed an L to an R. It's like, Rukia. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, whoa, that's too far. That's too far. It's like, okay, tell that to every comedian doing the shtick now, and just tell that to bloody, like, if you think that's too far, God, I would hate to see the 2017 crowd even back in the Katie Vick era.
Oh God.
Well, see, and that's some of the conversation I've heard. People have brought up stuff like WrestleMania 19 and Triple H and Booker T. Some of the shit that Triple H said. The fact that we had Kung Fu Naki, although stories have come back saying no, Funaki wanted to do that.
You had Tajiri. You had Tajiri that was basically a Japanese servant to an Englishman. I didn't see anyone getting it up in arms about that. Everyone thought that was funny. Like, haha, that's funny.
Right. Or even better, when, you know, Tajiri as a heel, you know, was roping in Tori, made her dress as a geisha and wouldn't let anybody else touch her. That's not stereotyping. That shit actually happens. And, you know, I don't recall this level of outrage when Vince McMahon, a wasp, if you will, dropping an N-bomb. So guys, where's the line? Because personally, my takeaway from it is that Jinder Mahal's a hypocrite. He's calling all of us racists, but he is even worse racist than we are.
I don't know. I just, like, I think that it was just people that took the entertainment part of it way too freaking seriously. Because if you're gonna do that and chant "that's too far" for that, then you guys should never go and watch another movie ever again. because I've seen far worse in a lot of movies than that general stereotype.
And go ahead, VR.
Here's a question. How many times in the late 80s, throughout the 90s, and into the 2000s, did we see the American heels disparage the Canadian faces? And and using the obvious stereotypes again, and did we ever get reactions like this?
No.
Here's an even better one, like to more 2000s time. Does anyone remember a guy named Kenzo Suzuki?
Vaguely.
Dude comes out and he's an Asian wanting to be an American, and you had John Cena with a feud against him, and John Cena's looking at a woman that's supposed to be a Japanese woman and saying that he would put white stuff on her face, and you knew what he meant, yet I didn't, and the whole crowd lost its shit, like, was cheering for it. And that's not too far. He just disrespected a Japanese woman for her geisha attire, and yet I didn't see any outrage over that. Everyone was like, "Ha, that's funny."
Mainly because he got away with a sex joke on TV. I'm guessing that's what they were laughing at. But you know, I don't think the sex joke was funny either.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. Like, there've been far worse comments made than Mr. Miyagi and changing an L from an R, like, that have been made towards Asian superstars. Yet no one's said shit. But yet we're in 2017, and all of a sudden, like, all that stuff gets brought up. It's like, dude, don't disparage Pat like that. Pat Morita worked hard for Mr. Miyagi character. Don't you dare insult him.
Wait a minute.
Like, how didn't it? But yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, if you're an Attitude Era fan that has become a 2017 pussbag and said that's too far, then please don't ever, ever, ever get on a fan board or anything else and ask for the Attitude Era back, because you, sir, have lost your privileges.
And I'll give you even a further example. Anytime they're in England. Making jokes about the hygiene, making jokes about the queen, making jokes about, you know, mocking the accent. It's the same thing. Is that not too far?
Guys, you had Kofi Kingston that was doing a Jamaican accent on TV every week. Yeah, I didn't see no people going, "That's too far." You all.
Seriously. I'm baffled. The fact that the fan boards have gotten into a discussion with it has gone 10 pages. And actually, it's turned into a weird territory that, you know, what is the difference between healing it up, entertaining, and being a racist?
Okay. First of all, there's a civilized discussion going on in WWE current on the fan boards.
Mm-hmm. It's civil for now. I'm still kind of pissed that a Nazi joke thread got shut down when somebody accidentally typed Adolf Hitler. Nobody was even mad yet, and they locked the thread. But yes, there is actually reasonable civil discourse going on about this whole Mahal promo. And I decided I wasn't going to stir the pot because I essentially wanted to go in there and say, you know, you are all the most thin-skinned people you guys are being really thin-skinned about this. I mean, you know, where is the line? Does this mean, you know, should I start shouting that's too far when people start fat-shaming Nia Jax? Or if they start, you know, if they actually height, you know, they do, you know, height shaming with the cruiserweights, mm-hmm. you know, making racial jokes to the luchadors and the Puresu. Mm-hmm. Everything is fair game. And mm-hmm. the fact that we're talking about this means gender one.
Exactly. Because we're giving him a reaction.
We are giving him a reaction, but then again, I also think that because we know what Vince McMahon's like.
Mm-hmm.
We know what Vince is like, especially 2017 Vince. 2017 Vince is going to see all this negative reaction and worry he's going to lose stocks for this. So as much as I hate to say it, because I think the man deserves the title either way, but I think this promo on SmackDown has solidified Nakamura winning at, was it, No Mercy? No, Hell in a Cell. Whoops.
Yeah.
This promo has pretty much solidified his title win right there, because I can guarantee you WWE has been bombarded with a bunch of negative ass emails threatening to cancel subscriptions and yada, yada, yada. And it's probably going to generate more negative media and everything else. So Vince is going to cut the head off the snake before it bites him and say, okay, we'll give the title to Nakamura as an apology.
Well, actually, to some out there, that is apparently the only result that should come from this promo, that Nakamura has to win now.
I have to agree. I mean, I've heard the decline of SmackDown lately. Mm-hmm. 40-50% viewership. That's steep.
And somebody posted a picture from SmackDown facing Spitside, facing the actual hard cameras. So you could see the cameras, and they usually tarp off a good chunk of the section where the hard cams are. The sections on either side, if I remember this picture correctly, let me go look it up, were also tarped off. That's bad.
Yeah, and like as much as I hate to say it, because like I myself don't want to come across as racist or anything, so people take this for whatever it's worth, but I personally feel it's because of the current heavyweight champion that we've got, and here's why. He's done great with his character build up. Mm-hmm. However, his current run as champion with his whole Nakamura rivalry has been bland and boring. And it's not really something that I personally want to buy Hell in a Cell for. If I'm being honest, the match I'm mainly buying Hell in a Cell for is Shane versus Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they want to get SmackDown viewership up, they've either got to hurry up and put the title on Nakamura and have him in a feud with AJ Styles or somebody big, to try and turn the ship around, because right now SmackDown's becoming the new Raw.
Okay. I found the picture and I posted it. So you can see the...
Okay.
That's bad, folks.
Wow, that's a TNA crowd right there.
That's what I mean, and I can't defend it. All I know, you know, usually that section with the hard cams is mostly tarped off. That I understand. But what you see on the left here is that there's two sections over here that are completely tarped off. That's not good.
And it makes you wonder what Mahal was looking at. Like, if he's looking at the people at the back going, there's nobody here.
Oh, there's plenty of people there. They're just all on the other side booing you and telling you you've gone too far. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not a racist. I'm just defending the fact that he's a heel. He's supposed to do stuff to make you angry.
And by the way, all the people that were chanting that's too far, I have one word for you. Hitalia. Thank you.
So, yeah.
It is nothing but racial stereotypes, and it's one of the most popular short animes out there.
Ah.
And it's nothing but the anthropomorphized countries.
Oh yes, Powers Italia. I've watched bits and pieces of that, and that isn't that. You know, mm-hmm. That is nothing but a big racial. That's a big racial party. I've watched some of that, and wow, none of that would fly in the States. That's probably why it hasn't been dubbed. Or has it?
Funimation.
What? What? You'd almost get me to watch a Funimation dub.
And Nikki?
Yeah.
They do the accents.
There and is no fucking line! Okay.
And excuse me, speaking as an Australian, okay, for those of you that were chanting, oh, that's too far for stereotypes, we Australians have had to put up with over 50 fucking years of fucking Americans telling us that we drink Fosters and that it's called shrimp on a barbie when it's a fucking prawn. So fuck you.
And here I thought you were just going to have a tirade about Outback Jack.
Yeah, don't even get me started on Outback Jack.
Okay. I won't, because we actually do need to move on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm going to skip the thing about the Hype Brothers, because we don't know what's happening yet. But I want to make sure we have enough time for Pick'ems.
Woohoo!
So Verm, if you would.
Are we not going to talk about LOL, TNA, GFW? What the hell are you actually called now?
Oh, dude, we honestly don't need to, because that company is just fucked. Okay,
This is so screwed up. I'll let you go here in a second, Shane. This company is so screwed up. We don't even know what to call them. We're not even sure where they stand on a few things. They don't. And you know, this could be a whole nother show in itself.
It's ridiculous. I mean, between the stupid ass, I don't even know what you'd call him, owner or friggin' financial advisor, friggin' Ed Nordholm.
Whatever the fuck Nordholm is.
What?
Whatever the fuck Nordholm is.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever his dumbass is, still suing the Hardys for the friggin' broken gimmick because he can't move on with his friggin' life, the pathetic pus bag. And then Jeff finally got his company back, made it GFW Impact, but then Jeff had personal issues, So he's had to step away. His wife's still on friggin' TV. So I don't understand why it had to change from GFW Impact to now just back to TNA Impact. Oh, wait, that's because Jeff was the money behind the operation. So without Jeff being there, then Ed Nordholm gets to take back over. And he said, no, I don't want it being GFW. It's TNA, damn you.
I thought it was they didn't have rights to the GFW name because Jeff Jarrett put them in his pocket with his tortillas and went home.
Yeah, I have no idea. But
and then you get to the Bound for Glory Jim Cornette issues.
Jim Cornette is a very intelligent man. Thank you. Fuck you. Bye.
Because I don't know if it was just from the Canadian point of view, but it seems like Ed Nordholm wants to start doing Bound for Glory, which is supposed to be their goddamn WrestleMania. He wants to start doing it in venues that have a maximum capacity of 500 people.
Dude! And he still won't fill the house.
I'm like, even WCPW is getting 2,000 seat arenas.
Yeah, isn't that a bitch? a company that had most of their guys jump ship in WCPW, they're getting 2,000 guys, and TNA Impact that have had most of their major stars now jump ship can barely get 500 people to sit in seats. That's messed up.
But that's TNA, GFW, whatever the hell their name is.
It's LOL TNA. Forever yeah. LOL TNA. Pick'ems.
Yes, let's get to the good news. Let's get to the pick'ems. No Mercy.
Yes, No Mercy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches. Total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There is an extra line in here somewhere because I've got 10 points possible, but it's saying 12 points possible. So I got to go fix something, it looks like. Yep, there they are.
Okay. That's Stat Boy in a rare moment of lucidity was able to get a spreadsheet to you at least.
Yep, enable editing. Here we go.
Unprotect worksheet.
Yeah.
All right. So are we gonna bring in Carl and our other person for the pick'ems, or what's going on?
Well, I'm wondering. Our fourth came back and then said never mind and hasn't been back since. And, hey, Muck-a-Muck, wake up.
Paging Carl Chenier, it is now time to stop watching NFL and come back to NAWC. Thank you.
That must be a hell of a game. Come on, Carl.
Yeah. Everyone Pokemon Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah, Carl,
do not make me start singing Wiggles. I'll do it. You do it.
And I mean that to everybody that's listening right now, poke Carl Schneider on Facebook.
Because VRM does not want to hear me sing. Just poke.
There's the poke button. Poke. Poke.
I wonder how many pokes he's going to have on Facebook.
He's going to kill us. I don't care. Carl Chenier has not responded to your last poke, only because I poked him 3 or 4 times in a row.
Oh, good God. All right, well, I guess we can just start and we'll get all Carl's results when he finally jumps in.
All right. Yeah, let's get started because We have maximum of 40 minutes to get through all this.
Okay, let's start things off. All right, let's start things off really easily. The Miz versus Jason Jordan. Who wins?
This one's actually, like, I would if you had asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said this was easy, it would have been Miz. But since Jason Jordan's had some good matches with Cena and Reigns, I'll still say the Miz just because it's too early.
This is their first match, so yeah, it's going to be Miz. There's going to be all kinds of interference. I'm tempted to drop a wild card here.
Jason Jordan heel turn?
No, Kurt Angle gets involved.
Ooh.
Dropping it or no?
Let's put it there for now. Kurt Angle gets involved in the match. And if you need more, do you need more specific than that?
Yes.
Okay. I think our fourth is back at the table. Cindy, good evening.
Good evening. I just had some stuff I had to deal with at the house, so.
All good. We just started Pick'em, so Jason Jordan versus The Miz for the Intercontinental title. Who wins?
It's going to be Jason Jordan. Here's why. I have a real feeling that they are going to put Jason Jordan over huge here, because I think this is going to be Miz's swan song. Like, he's going to get run out.
Okay.
Because he's got to tend to a baby.
True, but we're early into Maurice's pregnancy, so he doesn't have to leave just yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, God damn, it's only the third month. What the hell?
But yeah, the sooner she gets off the road, the better. I agree. But this is their first matchup, and well, we'll see. I'm not going to try to change your mind.
Oh, and also shenanigans from Kurt Angle. So,
hey, that sounds familiar.
I'm not playing the wild card though.
Okay. Next.
I'm also going to go. I'm going with the Miz because. Because Miz, it's first match. This is their first real match for anything, not counting the six-mans and whatnot. Is this not confirmed for pre-show yet or not? Okay. All right. Next up, the quote-unquote man versus man challenge, Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt.
And the Eater of Worlds wins.
I'm going to have to agree here because Finn, being the face, would bind himself to that handicap. Bray Wyatt is under no such compunction.
I definitely agree there. And Bray needs pay-per-view wins after that horrendous Mania and Backlash Orton feud.
Yeah.
That
killed any momentum that he had going in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's not get into that. I'm still pissed.
You ain't alone, son. Next. Or actually, Cindy.
Cindy.
Balor. I'm going Balor here. Wyatt has been made to be too much of a joke on pay-per-view, even if he does pull the monster shtick when there was no need to, a la Mania, it's not going to work, and Balor will win.
All right.
All right, time for a I'm not sure if I haven't seen any of the feud on screen, but who ordered the mess? Women's Fatal 5-Way.
Blame Brian Zinn of Wrestling with Regret for this.
Yeah. 2 points, who wins, and I cannot do the voice. Don't even try.
Oh, here we go. The Australian steps up to the plate. Hang on.
Oh, I'm going to give you room.
Yep.
Who wins and...
All the times for your thing for your phone to go out.
Phone says no.
All right, I'll do this.
No, sorry. I'm gonna. I swear to God, this is the last time I'm doing this goddamn show on my phone. who wins and who stares at the
pretty lights?
Can we hire you to replace Josh?
No. I still need Stat Boy's insanity from time to time.
Oh, just for that one bit.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. Alexa, Sasha, Bailey, Nia, Emma.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is where we come to the segment called Bad News Beeman's Wacky Choices.
Oh, boy.
The winner of the match will be your new Raw Women's Champion, Emma. And she will pin Sasha Banks. And here's why. Wild card. Bailey snaps and goes full heel on Sasha Banks. Giving her a Bailey to belly, and Emma will just come in and pick up the scraps.
I like your thinking, but it's wrong. Because I do think Emma will win and she'll pin Bailey. But here's my wild card. What female haven't we seen on TV in a long time?
Mickie James?
The other one. Unless Dana's injured.
Dude, if you're talking about Paige, she's already been...
I'm not talking Paige. I was going with Dana.
I don't know if Dana's back from bereavement leave.
Never mind, then I changed my pick. Nia Jax, but Bailey still eats it. And yes, I'm showing my Nia Jax bias. I don't care.
No, Nia is going to be a huge factor in this match. And watching her work at house shows, they love the big woman offense. My heart says Nia,
but
my head says Alexa retains, and she pins Sasha. Because Sasha's been the weak link about the title hot potato. So that's easy pickings. But since I've already played my wild card, when that's done, Alexa's going to celebrate and Nia's going to be standing right there. Alexa's going to win the match. Nia's going to win the segment.
I'll take that.
I am debating if I want to call the shot like this.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Okay. Do it. Do it.
Call shot.
Okay.
Alexa starts celebrating a little too soon. Where the ref is out and she's just taunting. And she's backing up, getting ready for... She's backing up, not noticing, "Hi, Nia!" Naya's there waiting. Naya smash. Naya wins, but picks the scraps off of Sasha, who staggers to her feet. Boom. I don't pay enough attention. I don't know. I actually don't know what Naya's finisher is off the top of my head, so.
It's a leg drop.
Yeah.
Samoan drop or a leg drop. Doesn't matter.
Okay. No, it's Samoan drop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they did change it. Okay.
Samoan drop or...
But yeah. But
or rolling senton.
Okay. Yeah, Sasha staggers to her feet. Samoan drop. 1, 2, 3, Nia Jax. And that is a called shot.
Okay.
So far we've got three people that think there's going to be a new champion, and Nikki thinks that we're going to retain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and let's back up to Balor Wyatt for a second. I'm just going to, I don't know if it's a called shot or not, but I want that art, that both faces of Balor on screen vignette promo.
Is that for you? That's your wild card?
No, it's a called. It's more like a called shot. I don't know if I want to take. I don't want. Ah, do I want to take that one off the IC title match, because that's. Fuck it. Give me the Balor Wyatt, the one for Balor Wyatt.
Two faces of Balor promo.
The creepy promo that happens before the match of, you can't do this without me, Finn.
And I want an auto win if he comes out half painted.
I'd allow it. If he comes out like Two-Face style, I'd allow it.
Hmm.
I say go for it.
I can't speak because it's my call. I'm the one calling it. So, run it by Josh. If not, then we'll just go with the promo.
Right. All right. Neville versus Enzo.
Ugh.
I have nothing. Nothing funny to say.
I'm sorry, but if anyone thinks How You Doing is going to win, then you're crazy.
Enzo's not going to win this, but this match is going to go for a little bit because Neville's going in underestimating Enzo. Enzo's not a great wrestler, but unfortunately he does not know how to stay down. So Neville's going to retain, but he's going to have to earn it.
All right, take care.
Yeah, I will copy paste.
Yeah, I'm saying Neville.
And I want to hear that damn cackle again. Not bad.
Sweep.
Seriously. Sweep. All right. Shield 2.0 versus the Bar.
What? Bar.
What bar are they talking about? If Sheamus shows up, that must have been a really bad place.
It's friendly tap.
Stop!
Friendly tap.
Apparently, that's what the thumb symbol is supposed to mean. Like, both of them joined together, it's supposed to be the bar. It's like, oh, okay. Boo.
Who remembers the friendly tap?
Yeah. Oh, God almighty. But, I don't know. I'm going to say Shield 2.0 is going to win. Because I just don't want to see Dudley Boys 2.0 win with the damn 3D they've been using. What the hell?
And it's not that good of a 3D either.
So, it's a two point.
Yeah, sorry. I'll say, judging by how the tag team finisher goes, I'll say Ambrose pins Sheamus. Because it's always the knee into the dirty deeds, so.
You're close. Ambrose is going to pin Cesaro.
That's the real choice of this match. Who eats the pin? Because they're not putting the belts back on the bar. Actually, it's going to be Sheamus, because isn't he scheduled to do another movie?
I don't know. I hope he is. I'm glad that he's getting the outside work. I think he has his in-ring stuff. He's just as much fun on camera. Go ahead.
I am going to go with Nikki and say it's Cesaro. Okay, it's pinned. All right. Cena won the promo war mostly. Reigns won the Twitter war. Who wins the actual war?
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
Can I add a quick 2 cents about the promo Roman cut last night?
Oh, Monday night? Yeah.
Yeah. Did it feel hollow to anybody else? Because the big line was that he always leaves. But when he cut it that night, it felt hollow because he was in but Cena was on the clock. He was in Australia doing the tour.
No, he was not.
Oh, he's not at the tour?
No, dude. If he was here in Australia, that would mean Roman would be here in Australia, because Roman, Bray, all of them were over here.
We're thinking that he was going to or from China.
Yeah.
Which, yes, he's still on the clock, but he's not on Raw.
It's not the first time they do something via satellite, so he couldn't even do that.
Yeah. He was on a plane, and you know, and Cena's too cheap to pay for the Wi-Fi. Anyway,
well, he's not making the Rock dollars. We'll say that.
Yeah, but that's still a pretty metal card. Anyway,
the black Amex.
Yes, I have held one. It is magical. It makes you think things that you would never normally think. Like, I want to run out of the restaurant and go to a Porsche dealer.
the black Amex to Nikki is like the ring to Smeagol off Lord of the Rings. My precious, my precious.
Or the ring to Cody Rhodes nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that was pretty cool. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Well, I'll ask about that later. We got to keep moving.
Yeah.
My heart says Roman. My head says Cena.
Well, I'm gonna go Roman on this one. I'm gonna say the big dog is gonna get the win over the shovel.
I hope so. I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong. But every time I pick Cena's opponent, Cena still wins.
Because remember, Nikki, that Cena might have Triple H's shovel, and Triple H now has the gavel, but Vince has always, and will always, carry the axe.
But there's one counterpoint to that. Who has always been Vince's favorite ever since 2002?
Yes, but who has been replaced recently with a new favorite?
Yeah, who has Vince been, quote-unquote, shoving down our throats for the last 2.5 years?
And who did Vince get to beat his pride and joy, The Undertaker, in his retirement match?
I am thinking I want to do something.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Give him room.
It's my specialty when it comes to pick'ems. When we have a match that I possibly do not care about.
Oh no!
Flush!
Wow, really? Damn.
I'm not enthused about this match either, but I just don't care.
I mean, whoever wins, we all lose.
I disagree, but then again, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Roman fan, so.
Yeah, I happen to disagree as well with that because.
Because.
If you noticed, Cena has a great deal of momentum and has had that momentum throughout this entire promo sequence.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I want to be wrong.
I see so much momentum. They are setting us up for something. They are setting us up for some kind of swerve.
See, and DQ?
No contest, too?
No, I think VRM is going more along the lines of we're going to possibly get a Hulk Hogan heel turn type thing. Is that where you're going, VRM?
Sort of. I see this match going two ways. I'm going to say what I think is going to happen for what I think is going to happen, and that's going to be Reigns is going to win. Somehow clean. What I want to happen is Reigns will snap and go batshit insane with chairs and whatnot all over Cena. But then again, going batshit insane with chairs as missiles is something we're likely to see in the next match. Universal Championship, what we've all been waiting for, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman.
The winners are the fans.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But the person that deserves to win this match, and I personally am voting to win this match, Braun Strowman.
Nope, I'm going to keep my wild card there. But let me throw a scenario at you. My dear Uncle Paul follows the money. Is he making money with his current client? Is he getting the right amount of exposure? Are they getting the right amount of everything they need? Perhaps people are not as interested in seeing a beast. When this new freak show, this new monster among men. I wonder if he could make more money with him.
So we're basically saying that this is a Brock Lesnar Big Show 2003 rematch.
Yes.
I was about to say, there's continuity there.
I just watched the ECW title match with Big Show and Rob Van Dam from Philly.
Ooh. Didn't the crowd get legit pissed when they saw that happen?
It was probably in Philly. They were throwing shit. They were throwing shit. You don't pull that crap in Philly. You can pull it. You can pull this here.
Wait, where are we? By the way, we are in. No mercy. We are in Los Angeles. We're in the Staples Center.
Oh, I haven't given my pick yet. Oh, you're still picking. Sorry.
No. You're fine. Strowman wins when my Uncle Paul dumps Lesnar.
Now, Cindy, you haven't used it yet, so.
And that was it.
Please, I already have my wild cards over in Wyatt Balor.
Yeah, that is my wild card. Paul is going to dump Lesnar for Strowman because they still want Paul on TV. Strowman, while he's a decent promo, Lesnar was a decent promo too back in 2002.
Yeah, now Lesnar just doesn't give a shit.
Which makes him an even better promo. Because that's his gimmick.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying, you know, Lesnar's been phoning in so much, and everybody wants to see Strowman. Let's put the belt on him. That way we have an actual TV, you know, actual champion on TV, a fighting champion, a believable champion. We get to keep Paul, and Lesnar can go play UFC again. We all win.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah.
Let's face facts too with this. Braun's got more over, is more over currently than Roman and Lesnar combined. So it makes logical sense to put the belt on him.
Yes.
And it's been a natural overness.
Yeah, this is what's that magic word?
Charisma.
No. Organic.
Yes!
Strowman has charisma by virtue of his freaking size and his presence.
And but what he does and what he does in the ringside area.
Yeah.
He lifts up, he picks up the office chairs and throws them as missiles.
So I want to see him pick up Lesnar and throw him in the cheap seats. Mm-hmm. So, please, 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 Uncle Paul, you're due for doing one of these. You are due.
He hasn't done one in 11 years.
Exactly. And the last one was that ECW match in Philly.
I thought the last one was with Punk and...
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. He's still due.
Yes. I still think he's due. We need this. Make it happen, WWE. Please be listening to my podcast because I know you do.
And copy paste everything above for me because I also want to pick Braun Strowman. <It's> like
make Demon? Me happy.
All I know is if Braun Strowman loses to one F5, I'm going to be pissed. I got pissed off when Samoa Joe lost to one F5. I'm like, really?
Yeah, Joe should have taken at least three.
I think it's different with... Because if you remember the match, and when he counted three, just slightly after three, Joe kicked. So it was more of along the lines of Brock got lucky rather than Brock smash.
Admitted. But
and it was built up as much.
Yeah, and it's gonna be and this one, you know, we've got somebody who's closer to Undertaker size, so Lesnar's gonna have to do at least two. Mm-hmm. So is that everything, Aaron?
That is everything.
Okay, I've got a few more minutes, so we're going to put a little bow on this wonderful show. But before we go, let's sell some soap. Let's start with you, Cindy.
Well, you're going to join me on this one too, Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Our wonderful employer. Not this one. The right. Other wonderful employer.
Yes.
AngryMarks.com.
Yes, take a peek at my latest article that I referenced at the beginning of the show, my tribute to Bobby Heenan. What would Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon do if they were calling the current WWE? With an assistance from the Freaking Awesome Network. Thank you.
And let me assure you, it is a happening.
And you put up something pretty wild yourself.
Yes, I have been watching some old school Ring of Honor. I bought a bunch of old school ROH DVDs from my friend Daria Quinn, dating back to Unscripted 2002. And this features Brian Danielson before he was, when he was just called American Dragon.
Okay.
It had the tag team title tournament. And also low-key losing the title to Xavier. Okay. Remember him?
Xavier.
All you have to know is he lost the belt to Samoa Joe.
Okay.
It's about the commentary. And how it's always one of the weakest parts of Ring of Honor.
That's any independent promotion, personally.
Yeah, but when you're technically the number two company... I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
Let's face it, they have bigger reach than... oh, wait, I can't say that anymore. Impact Wrestling.
Whatever they're calling...
We don't know. We're calling them Law TNA.
Yeah, it's going to be Law TNA from here in until they figure it out. So,
or
yeah.
What Impact?
Well, like I said, LOL TNA. So, yeah, you have an extensive article about the fall and further fall of commentary in Ring of Honor.
Yep, it was the fall and then a rise and then sad departures. And what we got now.
Right.
Also, what's going on is the C-List podcast, which is where I review and talk about C-List shows. Nikki is going to work on one with me where we have some history to talk about.
Oh.
Remember the one that I showed you? WCW Saturday Night.
Ah, yes.
2000.
Yes.
The show after WCW Uncensored.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something I want to do with a lot of people from Spectrum One. Carl, Verm.
We'll make it happen.
Oh, yeah. Game Show Garbage, the second best... Wait, is Jason here?
No.
Good. The absolute best game show website out there, and there's no denying that. And anybody who thinks otherwise is lying.
You realize he does listen to the podcast.
Whatever. We got episode 500 coming up, and I want to do something that I've beaten him twice already. Let's see if he's up for it.
Actually, that reminds me, with the 500th episode coming up, I better start making some phone calls and get us some special guests and get some more insanity going on.
So we can sell even more so. But yeah, the open challenge is to Jason. Let's see if he could get back some of his luster that I've taken from him over the years.
Is there going to be a bet involved in this that I have
Yes.
Shots fired.
I want to challenge him. The victor twice over challenging Jason Block again.
All right, we'll work out the details on another show because we get I know you two might not have too much to promote, but I do want you to have an opportunity to speak.
Yeah.
VRM.
All right, BS Big Show. I was not on this week because I forgot to turn Skype on. We're to talk about the Giants. There's a nice rant apparently. I'm guessing by Jason about how much the Giants suck. Ah.
I'm going to have to listen to this because I know what he's talking about.
I don't
neener, 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 and watch him kick me off the show. Anyway, hi.
Hi.
So.
I have no idea what else was discussed on the show. If Carl is here.
Seriously, Muckamuck, did you fall asleep?
Well, the way real life has been kicking his ass lately, I don't doubt it.
fair enough. I'm not terribly worried about it. BS Big Show, Red State, Blue State, We Love to Interrupt. Touch 'em all, since I know we're in playoff season. And all of these wonderful shows you can find on Stitcher Radio, iTunes. There's like 50 of them, and Jason says them too fast.
Yeah. But the best damn radio app, blah, 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 TuneIn Radio.
Yes. So if you say you can't find us, you're not looking hard enough. Shane?
Let's see. The only thing I've got for you, ladies and gentlemen, is WWE Supercard. Get on there today and enjoy Road to Glory, where you can get to SummerSlam 17. Oh, God. SummerSlam 17 Big Show, and who's the other SummerSlam 17? I'm pretty sure it's
Sheamus.
That's it, Sheamus. Who can forget that pasty white skin? But yeah, other than that, I've got nothing except for everyone enjoy your day.
Just to give everybody a heads up, AWF is hosting another show in Cambridge, Minnesota on September 30th. I will be there. I will be working. I'm not sure how big of a capacity yet, but we'll see. This Saturday, Steel Domain Wrestling will be out and about. I am not working that show. I wish I could. I'm hoping that I've made a couple of connections at the Crushed event I worked a couple of weekends ago, that people will start saying, "Hey, check this chick out." And yes, I will further endorse Supercards, as Road to Glory has not been able to give me a gobshite of draws. But I'm already up to Elite, so I'm already up to Kane. With luck, I might have Roman for a pro by Saturday, and maybe Sheamus by Sunday. I don't like my chances of getting Big Show.
Bella.
Give me some damn good draws.
Knowing your luck, you get one of the sings.
I've already looked up the SummerSlam 17 cards. You can't get them. So I'm happy about that. I might get Jinder, but I can't get the Singh brothers.
Ugh. Seriously, one of the worst promos I've ever seen.
And I lie. At least RTG has finally given me a catalog card that I needed. I didn't have a WrestleMania tier Mark Henry. Oh. So.
But can I just make one closing statement before we go?
Absolutely.
This is something that's actually bugged me. Okay, we all know that WWE is bringing back a WCW pay-per-view called Starrcade.
Yes.
Now, WWE has actually offered Cody Rhodes to come perform on that night. Now, here is my statement. Cody, you either accept WWE's offer and perform on the show, or shut the fuck up. Because here's WWE offering you an olive branch and giving you what you want, which is to continue the Rhodes legacy for Starrcade.
And they're not going to make you paint yourself up.
Yeah, yeah. And they're going to actually have you perform as Cody fucking Rhodes. So, you either put up or shut up, because you've done nothing but disparage WWE since you've left, said fuck the Revival and a whole bunch of other shit, and yet here they are still offering you pay-per-view money to come wrestle for one night. So, your ball's in your court now, Cody, so either put up or please shut the hell up.
Indeed. Uh-huh. And unfortunately, we are going to have to shut the hell up. Because I got things to do, I got places to go, I've got cards to draw, and hopefully draw another 17. Please, 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 please. Hopefully something for a pro, like Alana. Anyway. So, for Cindy Seidelman, for VRM, for Bad News Beeman, for our Snoozing away, Chief High Muckety Muck, Carl Chenier. My name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Please do come back next week and the week after and so on till we get to episode 500. We will make it special, I promise.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at spectrumone.net.